Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, December 1st, 2021 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. May we have a roll call, Amy?
Director Jeff Lee.
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russum.
Here.
Director Linda Austin.
Here. Okay. Karen, will you lead us with the flag salute, please?
Absolutely. Will you please silently say in your brains the Pledge of Allegiance as I recite it? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thank you very much. All right. That will bring us to our agenda review. Anything on the agenda anyone wants to review or change? So just say no. Okay, so we will present the agenda. We will accept the agenda as presented and move on to item four, which is public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda. So Amy, can we see if we have any public comment?
I do not see any hands raised.
Okay, thank you very much. That'll bring us now to the consent agenda, which is the approval of the warrants, the minutes of November 3rd, and the adoption of the resolution 2021-434 to continue to allow remote board meetings. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Any questions, anything? Nope. I'll open it to public comment.
There is no public comment. No public
comment. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Can we get a motion on this?
Yes, I'll move that we approve the items 5A, 5B, and 5C as published.
And I will second that.
All right, roll call Amy, please.
Director Karen Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, item 6A, presentation and approval of the fiscal year ending June 2021 financial audit. So I believe we have a presentation by Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim.
Yes, I'm going to introduce this one.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the presentation and approval of fiscal year ending June 2021 financial audit. It is recommended that the board receive a presentation of the audit report of the district's financial records by Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim, the district's independent auditor, resolve questions, call for any necessary revisions, and file the 2020-21 financial audit. Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim was hired as the district's independent auditor to review district financial statements and records and met with district staff to develop the fiscal year 2020-21 audit report at a cost of $10,680. Alex Holm, a CPA from Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim, will present the firm's final audit report of the district's financial records. Mr. Holm and staff are available to respond to questions from the board members regarding the fiscal year 2020-21 audit. If the board finds it is satisfied, staff asks approval of the audit with any appropriate revisions by motion. Alex, do you want to present?
Sure. So good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Alex Holm from Moss, Levy, and Hartzheim. We gave the district an unmodified clean opinion. There was no findings. The big difference this year we show in the report is, of course, you guys know the certificate of participation. Other than that, it's pretty much straightforward and pretty much year to year, you know, nothing really new in terms of accounting pronouncements or so it's the same, essentially the same report from last year. Do you guys have any questions on anything of the audit report or how the certificate of participation's in there, how it's shown, or I'll open the floor.
Okay. Is there any questions for Alex on any of the audit?
I don't have questions. I only have comments.
Okay.
And I just have a general question for Alex, if I could.
Sure. So,
and Alex, I apologize if this question is a little bit of a more generalized question when it comes to audits. But recently, people have said to me, audits are good because they provide information for the financials, but they're only good with based upon the information that's presented. So could you give just a quick history of what an audit can benefit the district from? It's obviously you get the information, you're presented the information, but it also does, in my opinion, or my recollection, give you clues as to where there might be irregularities. Is that a fair statement? And what are you looking for from an audit standpoint?
So it is a fair assessment. The thing is, I think what a lot of people get confused about, they think we go, comb through everything. The way an audit works is we pretty much, every district, every entity has what we call internal controls, items that will, help catch mistakes or help catch fraud or help catch any kind of financial mistake, essentially. And what we do is we test those type of transactions to look at, see if those internal controls are being correct. We don't look at every district, every city or anything, they have hundreds to thousands of transactions every day. We only look at a sample, and then based on that sample, we can assume those controls are working accurately. And if we assume those controls are working accurately, then the financial data presented to us is accurate. And then from there, we look at each kind of balance sheet item, like cash, AR, liabilities, and make sure that kind of, it makes sense at least. And we make sure it matches at least from what the financial system is to what the backup for those items, make sure it makes sense. And then, so it's not, it, that's, I think it's pretty much just you're giving reasonable assurance, not absolute. Absolute assurance would be I look at everything from every single transaction, even if it's 50 cents, to make sure it's right. That's absolute assurance. Reasonable assurance is pretty much just, I guess, like I said, you're looking at only a small percentage of the entire pie. And from there, you can make assumptions based on it. And that's why we give a modified clean opinion. And it's just, it's only a percentage of the pie.
Oh, very good. Thank you for that explanation.
All right. Thank you. Karen, did you have some comments?
I'll wait until after public comment, if there is any.
All right. Well, let's open to public comment then.
There is no public comment.
Okay. Then we'll come back to Karen.
I just wanted to comment and say there's only two words I look for in these things, and that is unmodified clean. And I just want to give kudos to Jeremy. I want to give special kudos to Amy and to the whole staff. This is not a small thing, because when it's not unmodified clean, I have a lot of work to do. And when it's unmodified clean, then I can trust staff and I can trust everything I see, and I really appreciate it. And I just don't want this to go by unacknowledged, that this is as it should be, but it's not a given. And I just want to say thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Karen. I agree with Karen. I'm sure Jeff does too. So that brings us to, let's see, we vote to accept the audit, correct?
I will move.
I'll take a motion.
Yeah, I just had it, but now where did it go?
The June.
You want to yes, remember? I will move that we approve the audit as presented.
Oh. And I will second that.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Lesson?
Enthusiastic, yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion right. Carries.
Thank you to the staff and to the thank you for the presentation, Alex, and I really appreciate all the great work.
Right. Thank you, everyone. Have a good rest of the night. And I forgot to mention Jeremy and Amy and everyone were fantastic to work with.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
All right. Happy holidays, Alex.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Okay, that moves us on to, where am I here? Here I go again. quarterly update on the redundancy project. So is Michael going to give us that report?
Yeah.
Hi.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. I'm Michael Jones, plant superintendent. I'm going to pass it over to Ms. Eileen Shields. She's the item before you today is the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project quarterly update. This update is for the months of August, September, and October. And with that, I'll just pass it over to Eileen Shields. She's the district's professional engineering consultant for the redundancy project. And with that,
Thank you, Michael. Good evening, honorable board, district staff, members of the public. My name is Eileen Shields. I'm serving as the district's project manager for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project. And I regret, typically we have a drone video to present to you during these quarterly updates, and hopefully we can get that to you at some point in the near future. But there's been a lot of progress made at the plant site, so I'll go over some of that. This is the fourth project update for the redundancy project since construction started in January of this year. So I'll just go through some of the major items. As Michael mentioned, this report covers the months of August, September, and October. The schedule summary was drafted as of October 31st. And so we're looking at a contract time elapsed of 279 days. It's, as of today, closer to, I think it's 310 days. Contract time remaining at the time of the report, 619 days, and we're about 31% complete. Now as of December 1st, we're closer to, 34% complete. The contractor's schedule currently indicates a completion date of July 14th, 2023, which is 2 days past the contract term. So a lot of that is shifting as we get schedule updates from the contractor. Probably the main thing that's caused some delay in construction from the start is dewatering of the site. That did take some time to bring the water down. And they've made up quite a bit of time in their monthly schedules as we've moved forward in construction. So they're looking at strategies, and a lot of it is estimated based on supply availability and labor and all of that. So we're continuing to watch it and look for ways to find some efficiencies. One additional contract change order included a credit of 1 day. So you'll see in the report that the current contract duration is 898 days. It's 2 days less than the original contract, both, for the district allowing the contractor to work on district holidays. So it's brought up ahead of time and discussed what the anticipated work would be. So we can make sure it could cover that. As far as the budget summary, the summary was drafted on November 16th. It was based on the invoices received and costs incurred to date. Contract earnings to date is just under $7 million. The contract was awarded at about $26.9 million. Total contract changes to date total $3,100, which is about 0.01%. This includes three contract change orders that were executed. The first one was covered in the previous quarterly report. A second one was executed in October, which totaled just under $9,000. And that covered a few potential change orders that we had covered in a previous report, adding a blind flange at the existing primary clarifier and replacing an air relief valve that was unexpectedly located on the Pismo outfall line. We also executed a change order, which included a credit of just under $22,000. And that's for power and water that is used by Felons on site. So the district is allowing the electrical and water usage with a meter for the construction, but the contractor is responsible for those costs. So looking at the overall project budget, we have a table in the staff report on page 3, and it covers both construction, the 3 change orders that I discussed, the construction contingency costs, other construction costs, and professional services costs, as well as a professional services contingency. If you recall, amendment number 4 to the engineering services contract for Kennedy Jenks Consultants was conditionally approved at the last board meeting, the November 3rd, 2021 board meeting, in the amount of $136,330. This amendment is currently with USDA staff for review and approval before the district administrator executes the contract, and that's how the motion by the board was passed, a conditional approval. We will let you know if there's any substantial comments from USDA that would change that contract substantially. So I've included that adjustment in the professional services cost and reduce the professional services contingency accordingly. The subsequent items in the staff report provide a summary of work rather than going through each of these. You know, I'll entertain any questions or discussion that you might have, but you know, essentially the contractor finished the major excavation in the area of the clarifier and the aeration basin. They've made a lot of headway on concrete, preparing the subgrade for that concrete, installing rebar, the major pipelines. It's pretty neat. If you haven't been out there in a while, I'd encourage you to take a visit and see the status of the construction. They did install one additional dewatering well in August, which really seemed to help in bringing the water down to a satisfied level to complete the concrete work. I will point out in September, the county directed Phelons to submit a permit request to the FAA, for the crane that's on site. So until that permit comes through, the county is going to continue to issue notice to airmen for the project and the crane. The crane's got a flag and a beacon, a light at night, so that everyone's aware of that location. So they're still awaiting response from the FAA for that. There was also some concern from the airport regarding a stockpile of the material that's been excavated that's at the back of the site. And so as soon as they indicated that concern to the district, Phelons went out and lowered the stockpile by 10 feet. So, and then we checked back, and the district's construction manager, M&S, has continued to check in with them on that. So that satisfied it. Anticipated work for the month of November, they're going to continue concrete. There's a lot of concrete to install on this project, so they're moving forward with that. They'll be moving towards, you know, up in elevation, so more on the aeration basin walls, the blower building footing and retaining wall. They're doing a little bit of work on, you know, the main plant site with the rotary drum thickener platform. And then they're moving for some underground conduit to the blower building. So there are a few construction photos attached. Some of the key items there. And then we have the executive summaries from the construction manager for each month. And then the final attachment is the detailed project budget status. And I noticed when I printed this out in preparation for the meeting that this status report, and maybe I think I have it printed on an 8 by 11, it's pretty small, so I'm going to look at increasing that size for you all for the next update. I apologize for that. that's all I have for this evening.
Okay.
Any questions if you can.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions from Karen or I have a quick question. Just, I don't know if, just to make it clear that on the contract changes, the 3,153. So is that year to date from the beginning till now, taking in the 8,000 and then the credit of 21? And that's what, is that what that is? Or is that just for this? I want to make sure that.
That is year to date. And, you know, that math of just the 8,000 and the 21 doesn't quite work out because
right.
There was a change order of just over 16,000 that occurred previously.
So
and so you can see those three in the detailed budget.
Well, that's good. Year to date, that's a good number to have for change orders. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have anything before I open to public comment? Open up to public comment now.
There is no public comment.
All right, then. Thank you very much for the report. Sounds like everything's going along very smoothly and it makes us very happy and comfortable with the job. So we're very, very pleased. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Can we make some comments?
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you very much for the report. I did not find any deficiencies in terms of size or any, I didn't have any trouble with it and it's on my screen so I can do this if I need to. So I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time redoing what you did. I found it to be quite good. It was very thorough and kudos to everyone with those change orders being less than 1/100% of the whole project as we're over 30% through. I continue to be amazed by that. This is what we'd hoped for and what we fought for. So I'm really excited about that. So thank you for the report. It was really well done.
Very good. Thank you.
Just a quick comment, if I don't mind,
go ahead.
And just a kudos to Ms. Shields and her team as well. But and then I also did meet Jeremy on site 2 or 3 weeks ago and did see some of the construction activities. It is pretty impressive to see all of the coordinated activities out there. So I'll reiterate what Ms. Shields said. And if you get a chance to go out there, definitely take her up on that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
That brings us now to the district administrator and plant operations report. And I'll turn it back to Michael.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Michael Jones, plant superintendent. The item before you today is the district administrator and plant operations report. I will be presenting both reports in Jeremy's absence. If you have any questions, I will try to answer them to the best of my ability. If not, we can table them until Jeremy returns. So regarding the district administrator's report, this report represents ongoing information on the latest district staff activities on major capital projects and studies, programmatic initiatives, regional collaboration, miscellaneous activities, and plant operations. So capital projects, the redundancy projects, the board received the quarterly updates just given by Ms. Shields. An APCD permit for a new backup generator for the redundancy project is requiring that the district pursue retrofitting our existing backup generator with a diesel particulate filter. We have responded to APCD and are awaiting a response on, they provided us with three options and we selected to go with one of the options and we're just awaiting their response and their acceptance to move forward. Central Coast Blue, there's no updates. Some miscellaneous, district staff has completed site visits for all the district's brine haulers this month or this reporting period. There's no plant tours. Some future tentative items. We will be presenting the first quarter budget review at the January 5th, 2022 board meeting. And that concludes the district administrator's report. I'm just gonna move right on to the plant operations report.
Okay.
So during this reporting period, November 1st through November 22nd, the district's facility exceeded its NPDES permit limit for instantaneous maximum total chlorine residual. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. Exceedance corrective action and the district's path to prevent further reoccurrence is discussed at the end of this report. All other process values were within permit limitations. Monthly plant data for November 2021. All of our numbers, aside from that exceedance, continue to be well within permit limitations as shown in our plant data. Some operations and maintenance tasks that operations staff performed is we reviewed and updated standard operating procedure for switching the treatment plant to emergency generator power. We troubleshot and cleared plugged digester number 2 middle supernatant line. Advanced flow systems performed permanent installation and calibration of our influent flow meter. We rewired the digester number 2 sump level control sensor. We worked on rehabilitation of removed Hallen strainer. We troubleshot effluent level monitor sensor, replaced with new pressure transducer. And then we changed the digester number 2 or number 1 mixing configuration and raised mixing pump output to reduce blanket on top of our digester process liquid. Some work orders staff completed. We rinsed all surfaces of clarifiers. We test ran our emergency generator and emergency bypass pump. We deragged both primary sludge pumps. Some preventative maintenance that staff performed is as follows. We inspected the digester vacuum pressure relief valves, the forklift, checked and verified our amp draws on our sump pumps throughout the treatment plants, inspected all clarifier drive units, the fixed film reactor distributor drive and orifices, inspected the effluent pumps, and inspected the Amiod filters. Some training that staff participated in was a 2-day HawkWIMS program operator training and advanced user training. The training consisted of general theory of HawkWIMS operation, monthly data entry, custom data entry, using digital logbooks, outputting reports and graphs, using help variable setup, monthly data entry for form development, custom data entry form development, report design, dashboards, understanding and maintaining system services, administration, and interfaces. Additional training staff participated in was the removal and installation of split seals. Operation staff performed a successful installation of a split seal on a fixed film reactor feed pump number 1. Some callouts. We had one callout this reporting period on November 10th at 1:31 a.m. We got an alarm for a door ajar in our heating and mixing building. Operation staff responded and inspected the area. There were no signs of entry and all doors were locked. The magnetic on the sensor on the door was faulty and has been replaced. So regarding our non-serious violation November 8th, excuse me. On November 8th, the district exceeded its permit limit for instantaneous maximum total chlorine residual. Operation staff observed a total chlorine residual of 11.3 milligrams per liter at 1:10 p.m. On November 8th, immediately following the observation, operation staff lowered the bisulfite ORP set point to ensure dechlorination was occurring. At 1:34 p.m., a resample was taken and a residual of 0.00 milligrams per liter was recorded. Operation staff will continue to keep the lower set point on the bisulfite ORP to ensure dechlorination is occurring and prevent reoccurrence. The cause of the non-serious violation is unknown, but may have been due to a high demand of chlorine at the chlorine contact tank. The high chlorine demand may have caused a heavier than normal load to the dechlorination system and therefore causing the exceedance. All processes have returned to normal since the exceedance, but operations staff will continue to monitor the system to ensure proper operation. A mandatory minimum penalty of $3,000 will be assessed to the district. Some corrective action for the non-serious violation is we've developed a scope of services with Michael K. Nunley and Associates to perform an assessment of the district's disinfection system. The assessment and subsequent technical memorandum will include the following. MKN will perform an on-site inspection of the disinfection and dechlorination system to document our existing equipment, its condition, connectivity, and control. They'll investigate physical configuration of the effluent chamber and location of instrumentation, review available information on the existing control and instrumentation system, prepare a technical memorandum describing the system and providing recommendations for improving control of the disinfection and dechlorination system. The report will discuss if control improvements alone are recommended or if physical improvements may be necessary. The technical memorandum will provide an assessment of additional potential improvements beyond revised loop control, such as improvements to physical configuration, location of probes, or additional features such as baffle or weirs, if warranted. Upon completion of the technical memorandum and the district's and at the district's request, MKN will prepare a scope and fee to prepare construction plans, specifications, and estimates for recommended improvements. The cost of the assessment is $10,844 and will be funded from the district's general engineering budget. And with that, that completes my report, and I am able to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Karen, you have a question?
I do. Michael, on that last couple paragraphs, can you put that in English for me, please?
The last couple paragraphs?
Yeah, here's what I mean. Are you saying that in terms of the Michael Nunley performance of the district's the overview or assessment of the district's disinfection system, are we recognizing that something is continuing to go wrong and we need to take a closer look? Is that basically what that says?
Basically, yes. And okay. Looking at ways that we can basically improve the process.
Because this is our third one like this in the last 6 months-ish?
So this is actually the first occurrence that we've actually violated or exceeded our chlorine residual limit without having, say, a system failure. The previous ones were due to fecal coliform. But in this process, we are looking at that. This should potentially improve that as well. So we're just kind of looking at it as a whole to see in which ways we can improve, whether it be controls of the system, updating the system, adding additional controls, adding an additional baffle weir that could potentially, say, allow us to sample later, which allows that bisulfite to react with the chlorine and would potentially give us the opportunity to basically not let this happen again.
So again, when you go to the basically, that's what I'm going for, is that 30,000 foot flyover, right? So we've had these kind of random little things go wrong, and so what we're saying is we've had enough random stuff go wrong that it's time for us to just take a look and see what we need to do.
Exactly. Essentially, it's like we've taken the time to kind of look at it ourselves, but maybe we need, you know, another set of eyes on it, basically.
Fair enough. I like it. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Director Lee, do you have any questions for Michael?
I do, just a quick one, and this may end up actually defaulting to a Jeremy question, but I just want to make sure that the amount of the MNK contract is within his authority, or do we need to go out to an RFP, or do we need to get a second quote, or can we go directly to MKN?
I believe we can. I'll defer to Keith just on the verification. I think his limit is 30,000, but I would just like Keith to verify.
Sounds right. I'd have to pull it to check. I don't look at that number very often, but I think it is 30 or 25.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm it was the contract was within his purchasing authority, which I figured it was. Just wanted confirmation.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you, Director Lee. Is there any public comment on the reports?
There is no public comment.
Okay. Then that'll bring us to board member communications. Is there anything the board member would like, any board members would like to communicate?
I would.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Appreciate working with every single person on the screen and all the people who are missing too. But yeah. I just want to say thank you so much. This was really stressful when I first came on in 2018, and now it's kind of the meeting that I don't worry too much about. And right. I just want to say thank you for all of staff's hard work, and I appreciate you so much. And I hope that you have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much.
As well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think Jeff echoes that. And I
definitely echoes that and appreciate that. And Merry Christmas.
Absolutely.
And,
it's a very pleasure to come to these meetings.
Yes, indeed.
So with that, if there's nothing else, we will adjourn. Everybody would like to adjourn?
Yes. Okay. Yes, take care.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays.